Welcome to everyone on today's AP Rollo webinar on the role of the ALAC on Monday the 20th of May at 0700 UTC. Could I just please remind everyone that please to state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. And if you do happen to be on the phone bridge as well as the Adobe Connect, please do mute your Adobe Connect speakers. Thank you. Over to you, Holly.
Thank you, and Holly Race for the Transcript Record. I'd like also to welcome everyone, as I don't think I have to repeat, but I will. The reason for this call is the upcoming election of an AP Rollo election of our representative to ALAC. And the purpose of this session is to have a discussion or an information session really on ALAC and what it means to be a member of ALAC. With that said, I think that the best person to start this off is, and it's saying Dr. Olivier, M.J. Crapin-Leblanc. So, Olivier, over to you, and if you want to go through, the questions I would ask you not only would be sort of a background to ALAC, but your view of what it means to you to be an ALAC member and what you are looking for in ALAC members, the purpose being that we can all inform ourselves, and for those people who want to nominate, it's an information session to help you make up your mind if you want to nominate, or for those who would like to support someone nominating, it will help you make decisions as to the support. So, Olivier, over to you.
Thank you very much, Holly, and it's Olivier from the Transcript Record. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for inviting me to this webinar so I can provide a few of my thoughts on the best ALAC members that can be around in the ALAC. The way I was going to go through this was to go again, but very fast, through the presentation, which I think many of you have seen in Beijing. In fact, it is a shortened version of the Beijing presentation. And just to emphasize a couple of things related to the actual ALAC members and the duties of the ALAC members themselves. And then I wanted to touch on the ALAC. Well, it's not passed yet fully, but it's the Rules of Procedure Adjunct Document, which I believe is Document 1. It's a draft at the moment, and it's got several errors and things, but there were a few points in there which I thought I needed to pull your attention to. So let's start first with the presentation. If I could have the first slide, please. And I guess it's for me to move the slides. Oh, has that changed for you?
No. Not yet, no. No, wait a minute. Do I change it? Oh, there you go. Oops. It just...
Aha, here we go. Okay, so I'm controlling it. Excellent. Okay, right. So this is the ICANN multi-stakeholder model, as we all know it. Is this coming out well on your screen? Because I know that screens differ in size, and for some it doesn't.
It looks fine for me. This is Holly for the Transcript Record.
Okay, thank you very much, Holly. Okay, so that's a model which I think you've all seen. I've just taken the board out, and that kind of gives you the whole environment that the at-large community and that the ALAC has to evolve in. I'm just keeping that slide to sort of show the fact that we're not the only people around, and a lot of the work of at-large, of ALAC members is not only doing the strict minimum requirements that we have in our bylaws, attending, etc., but also being able to go out there and speak to those other communities. At-large is maybe a silo among many silos, but one of the things that we've been pushing for recently is for silos to break down and for the community to really talk to each other. One thing that I would be looking for in ALAC members is that they're able to communicate, and I'll touch on that later on because on this slide it's just communicate outside of our community. So the next slide shows us the organizational diagram, as you're all well aware, And AP Rallo is a very, very large area. And so, again, as you can see, not only do you need to communicate within your community, but you also need to communicate all the way up to the ALAC itself. And this is where the thing is important. I think that each and every person on this diagram has to get information to flow. Flow up, and so the ALAC members are a very key part of this because they need to engage in drafting statements and working for any correspondence that the ALAC has to send forward, or even things that we tell our board selected or ALAC selected board member. But at the same time, information needs to flow in the other direction. When there is information that comes from the board or that comes from ICANN, these ALAC members really have a duty to help with the dissemination of that information in their region. And that's something which sometimes I don't see because it's not really written anywhere. You know, we as a community have a duty to inform our ALSs of what is going on at ICANN. So if there's one link along the chain that doesn't perform its job, then the information just doesn't flow. The next one, the next slide is pretty much what we have to do, what is at large. I think I've expanded enough on this in Beijing. For those of you that weren't in Beijing, we really engage in several things. One is the public comment process. One is issuing comments on anything and everything that takes place at ICANN and that is ICANN-related, both internally and externally. We also take part in cross-community working groups. There are not many of these at the moment, but individual at-large members and in fact, ALAC members are really encouraged to do that. Can take part in GNSO working groups when invited to do so, and in CCNSO working groups when invited to do so as well. And then there is the coordination of the filing of the new GTLD objections, the new generic top-level domains. That's a function that has been performed by a sub-working group of the ALAC, and that is ongoing. So that's really the sort of the main amount of work that is done. Of course, as I said, there's the communication aspect, which is really, really important as well. We're all working in bottom-up. So this is where, communication works. So you got from the ATLAS structure through the RALO all the way up to the ALAC. When producing a statement, it's very difficult for whoever is holding the pen to find out what the responses, what the input is from the community if there is absolutely no input at all from the community. And so that one person to search for comments from the community or just send an email out to the at-large list and asking for input, it's not that effective if you don't actually have local RALOs pushing for things. And that's a job really for both RALO leadership, but also for the ALAC members in that region to go and tap the input from the members, from their ALSs. And you could really put, this is the bottom-up process, but you could also look at the information dissemination, which would actually have this red arrow going in the other direction, from ALAC to the RALOs, and the RALOs, and of course by that, the RALO selected ALAC members to go out and tell their ALSs what's going on at ICANN, what are the big issues that ICANN is faced with, etc. Just a public comment process, for example. In the public comment process, you'll see that it usually starts with the ALAC, ICANN asking for a comment. And one of the ALAC members, or several ALAC members, would be interested in reading through those requests and being able to let us know, let the ALAC know whether this is something that the ALAC should be commenting on. That's the first thing that needs to be decided. But then afterwards, when a decision to comment has been made, a first draft is made. Now, if I can, I have an arrow here. Yeah, here we go. So, okay, then that's stuck now. Ah, here we go. So first draft. Ah, I love playing with this. The first draft is drafted. And as you can see, there's also always at-large structure input here. And the at-large structure input is not just magical. This requires active involvement, both from the RALO leadership, but also from the ALAC members in each one of the regions. And that's one of the things I'd like to really emphasize, because way too often do we have very little of such involvement. And unfortunately, you end up with just a handful of people drafting and commenting, and you never know, you're never 100% sure if what you're writing and what you're drafting is something that is the general overall view of the region. The real tough thing here is that from here all the way to here is 21 days. So from ICANN asking for comments to the statement being released is only 21 days, usually minimum time for the public comment process. And that's very, very hard to sustain if ALAC members are not on the ball and able to immediately say, ah, yes, I have asked, I've checked with our community, we don't need to talk about this as far as our community is concerned, or this is an issue we need to take up. It's a constant race against time. That's one of the processes. The other process is, the at-large structure input. If you have an issue that your maybe an ALS brings forward or your community feels strongly about, then you have the ALS's wishes to comment. There is a discussion that has to take place at the RALO level. And I gather that really is down to the RALO leadership to work on. And here as well, is there consensus at, RALO level and then cross-RALO level. But from this point onwards, I think that ALAC members can actually, because they are constantly in connection with each other, can help with finding consensus across the RALOs. And then there is, of course, the discussion at the ALAC level, and in exactly the same fashion as what I've said regarding the public comment process, you need to have a lot of communication going on and being aware of what the different issues. I'm not going to go through this part. I think I've explained it enough. It's pretty much the same sort of diagram as the previous one with the public comment process. There are three important links which I'd like to draw your attention to as well. And this gives you an idea of the amount of work that the ALAC actually does. So the first one is the correspondence, the number of public statements that we make per year. It's all there. And if you click on this, you will find that last year we had over 50 of them. And these did not just get drafted by Father Christmas or by Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. This was actually something that was done by both at-large and ALAC members, but with ALAC members actually taking on a high responsibility of shepherding this, and you'll notice that some people drafted quite a few statements. To find out statements that are currently in the process of being drafted, you look at the at-large policy development. It's really important. It's the process itself is not complicated, but you just need to follow it so as to make sure that everyone has had a chance to comment in good time. Time is your biggest problem here. Unfortunately, weekends count and weekdays and nights, and you know, it just goes very, very fast. And then finally, the at-large working groups. I'm touching on this because of a number of additional points I wanted to make. Could we look at the rules of procedure document, please, next? And magically, my screen is changing. On the rules of procedure, there is an adjunct document which is going to be published and joined with the new rules. There are a number of criteria for ALAC members, liaisons, and appointees. Of course, one of the things is to represent the internet, interests of the internet users. There we go. So now I'll unsync this so you can look through this at your own pace. Is this unsynchronized, so you can navigate around, Holly?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. So a couple of the points I wanted to focus on specifically, 1.2C, an understanding of the domain name system and the basics of IP addressing. You know, it's pretty important that if we have ALAC members, they know what the DNS is about and what the basics of the Internet Protocol addressing are, you know, IP addresses, domain names. All of this is quite an important thing. It's a fast-moving environment. It requires sometimes some extensive knowledge. Of course, you don't need to be an expert. And everyone who has started in the ALAC was not an expert to start with. But I'll tell you one thing, though. They've had to get up to speed pretty fast, because what we do have in front of us in some of the other parts of ICANN are people whose business is the DNS, whose business is IP addressing, whose business is intellectual property and other points as well. And you know, you will basically be chopped up to little bits if you come up with points and if you effectively make mistakes or very big mistakes. And this is one of the big concerns about our ALAC members. I know we haven't had any problem because people are generally bright in this community and learn very fast. But just in case you're very new at this, I would say that perhaps you might spend some time first in a working group and try to learn more about how about DNS and Internet Protocol before launching forward. The next thing also that's important, I think, is this. Can I use a little? I can use that as well. Here we go. The demonstrated ability for thoughtful group discussion making and sound judgment. This is pretty much what consensus is about, and that's not something that we all have in general as a standard thing, because consensus is a little bit different to someone making the decision. It really is a case of the person who is chairing and has to listen a lot before finding out what the general point of view is. And there are times when, as the chair, you might have to do something that you don't agree with personally, but a lot of people want to do, and this is the consensus. And, well, you're just the person who's the odd one out, and you have to carry the decision forward. So consensus making is very important. I would say the time allocation, and you'll notice there a number of things about time. Here we go. Can I click here? Here we go. The willingness to serve as a volunteer without compensation is pretty important. It's not all about traveling, by the way. I think that if the people who have traveled to meetings were actually doing, for all the time they spent on the ALAC, were doing a job, they would make more money than the cost of them being sent to a meeting. They could actually pay themselves a good salary and end up having a proper holiday in places. This ALAC and holidays are two different worlds, which have absolutely no connection with each other, unfortunately. And I'm sorry if I don't make this sound too great, but you know, there's a fun part in being able to meet regularly around the world. But there's also a lot of work, a heck of a lot of work that goes behind it. So the willingness to serve without compensation is really important. And if you look at the next page, you've got the conference calls. I would say that's pretty important to attend. If you don't attend conference calls, then as an ALAC member, you'll soon lose track of what's going on. And it's a little difficult to catch up afterwards. So there's definitely that. There's definitely a lot of emails that goes through your mailbox. And then there's one thing which I've recently asked of ALAC members, and I know that it's been an unwritten rule for a while, but here it is. It's there. It's to lead or co-lead or participate actively in one or more working groups on the policy issues. Because the mandate of the ALAC, although being stable, that has been busier and busier due to so many new subjects coming into the discussion pool, We've basically made sure that the whole of the ALAC doesn't need to look at every single subject out there. And so we've had some working groups that are created. So a lot of the discussion work and policy work takes place in the working groups. And if you're an ALAC member, you need to take part in those working groups. Otherwise, you're not going to be understanding what the issues are. It's interesting because some working groups are policy working groups. Some of them deal with more process and the constant and continuous improvement that the at-large advisory committee and the community go through, just like all of ICANN keeps on improving itself, the self-improvement. So some people are more geared towards process, and some ALAC members prefer that, and that's okay. You know, we need ALAC members that are able to deal both with process but also with policy. And then further down, just one more thing I wanted to show you, and that's the vote. If you are involved in policy but then you don't vote at the end, when a statement needs to be ratified, then or when there is an election of officers and so on, then really you're... You know, you're completely out of the loop at that point, and that's a real concern. This happens from time to time. It's not something that's very common, but it's important because that's really among the minimum participation requirements. So that's one point which I thought was very important. It doesn't look good when a statement is ratified with a small number of ALAC members just beyond the quorum voting on it. It just looks like the ALAC is not paying attention, and the ALAC as a whole, rather than just the individual members who have not voted. And that's pretty much the main points that I wanted to develop, and of course I'm open to questions, and I hope this has been of help to you.
Thank you very much, Olivier. It has been. I appreciate your time, and what I'd like to do now is just field a couple of statements, very brief, before we open for discussion. Possibly Renalia, Cheryl, I don't know if you want to say anything, but for the people who have been on the ALAC and can, I'm conscious of the time, but for just a couple of minutes, just words about what ALAC and what ALAC work means to you and how you find the work, so that those thinking about either standing or supporting someone on ALAC will be better informed. So, Renalia, if you could just a very brief life on ALAC, and then Cheryl, think if you would also like to contribute. Renalia?
Thank you, Holly. Can you hear me?
No.
Very faintly.
Okay.
You're worse than I am.
Okay. What I want to say is I would just like to take a moment to recall what I think are the advantages or the benefits of being an ALAC member. And the first thing is that because the ALAC promotes and protects the interests of individual end users, if you become an ALAC member, then you would be in a position to make a difference on issues that affect all Internet users, and that's 2 billion people and growing. And when you enter into the ALAC community, you would be in the position to influence not just ICANN's policy, but also its strategy, governance, and operations. And then personally, you would be able to grow and diversify your professional network. You would be able to learn about the issues under ICANN's purview or mandate while enhancing your knowledge about how they connect to Internet governance as a whole, which is a fairly complex subject matter. You would be able to build your reputation as an end-user advocate, and you would be recognized for your contribution. So those are all the plus sides of becoming an ALAC member. Essentially, it's about making a difference. The challenge is when you enter into ICANN, the operating environment can be really overwhelming. It is a complex political environment where the interests of different stakeholders converge and often clash. And although ICANN has a narrow mandate in terms of Internet governance, within this narrow band, the issues are wide-ranging. And I'd like to just give one small example. In 2012, there were about 59 calls for public comment by ICANN. That's an average of one issue per week. and all stakeholder groups are requested to consider and respond to the calls. And whether or not they do it depends on essentially two things, whether their stakeholder interests are affected and whether there is capacity to deal with it. Now, the ICANN's policy development and public comment cycle set an extremely fast pace because of the sheer number of policy issues. During the Beijing meeting, there were about 50 to 60 policy processes in the ICANN pipeline, and each policy process takes an average of 2 years to complete. So if you recall, the ALEC is a 15-member committee with, let's say, 60 concurrent policy processes at any one time, and even if we only agree to participate or respond to half of the issues, on average, that will require each committee member to be responsible for two policy issues throughout the year. And that's a minimum position. In reality, the ALEC deals with more. In 2012, the ALEC issued close to 50 statements, and that translates into three policy issues to ALEC members. And how the issues are dealt with are through the working groups and committees. So participation in these mechanisms is extremely important. The demand side of ALEC work is quite high, but there are mechanisms for dealing with it, and I have some tips for you if you want to hear it out, and I can do it later on in questions and answers. But you can manage this if you are self-motivated and if you are disciplined. Thank you.
Thank you, Renalia. And Cheryl, do you want, I'm very conscious of the time, but do you want to add a couple, so 2 or 3 minutes worth of advice for those who haven't spent the time you have in ALEC?
Holly, thank you. It's Cheryl for the Transcript Record. I'd very much like to take a few moments, but before that, seeing as you're you're the only currently serving AP Rallo appointed ALEC member on the call. How about you tell us a couple of things for a few minutes and then I'll have a go.
Fuab wants me to speak louder. At this point I might actually whisper for some of the words I could say. I think I would strongly support what Renalia says. It has its rewards, and perhaps the most rewarding for me is being able to make a difference to, you're on a very steep learning curve, you're involved in issues that you really have to read about and teach yourself about, and then teach those who listen to you about, and then listen to them, and be the conduit for a bottom-up, what does your ALS think? It is a time-consuming thing, and for those in AP Rallo, for some reason, Sydney, we spend a lot of time on the phone at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, and that can be very interesting. In terms of, though, the time, there is a lot of time. There's time on the phone. There's time writing, drafting stuff. There's time being involved in meetings and then doing the reading that's required to understand what those meetings are about. The reward, as I say, though, is very much you can make a difference, but if you're going to make a difference, you really have to be prepared to put the time in. You have to be prepared to listen very carefully to others, to understand what's being said to you, and then being able to communicate to others your understanding and the understanding of those you represent. It's not an easy task, but it is a rewarding one. Over to you, Cheryl.
Thank you very much, Holly. Cheryl, for the record. I don't want to, spend too much time before Q&A, but seeing as Hong Shui, who is the very first of the ALEC representatives and is the only other than myself ever having served on this call, I'd very much like to have a few words from Hong Shui. She and Azumi Aizu were the first AP Rallo appointed ALEC representative. So, Hong, if I could prevail upon you for a couple of words of wisdom before I jump in. Go ahead, Hong.
Thank you, Cheryl, and thank you, AP Rallo, for letting me say a few words. Actually, I was not the first member from Asia on ALEC. I was a member of interim ALEC. At that time, there were no ALEC. But I and Izumi, along with other colleagues, helped to get AP Rallo established in 2006. So over to you, Holly.
I'll take that. Thank you. Cheryl. The Transcript Record, I've run a couple of meetings in my day, so I guess I can't help myself. I wanted, first of all, to thank Olivier for an excellent run-through, and I would strongly recommend that this presentation style is given probably all of the regions at appropriate times. I'd like to let the community here that are interested in what it is that we're talking about when we say ALAC representative from a region. As Renalia mentioned, there are an ALAC is a 15-person committee. Five of those members are appointed by the nominating committee, the ICANN nominating committee. Renalia is one of the appointments, or is the current appointment for Asia Pacific. Each region has a what we would, I guess, describe as independent voice appointed to the ALAC. The other 10 positions are two per region, which are RALO, Regional at Large Organisation appointments. Each of those regions put in one person for 2 years, but it's done in alternate years. So in every single year, the region, our RALO, AP RALO, has to appoint someone, or on occasions, as was the case three times for me, reappoint someone to serve in the name of AP RALO on the ALAC. So it's staggering years. So if you think about the time commitment, you're looking at a two-year minimum term. I would strongly encourage you, this is not something that's particularly happened in AP RALO, but it has happened in other regions, that if your business and career takes you in new pathways during that term, or your family takes you in new pathways during that term, you consider informing the RALO, unless you're very closely associated with the work of the RALO, and that's something that AP RALO does fairly well, that you are stretched a bit thinly and you get as much support as possible, or indeed get yourself replaced, because it's perfectly reasonable if you're off breeding children or a new career, rather than miss ALAC meetings and votes, you're probably better to have yourself replaced. And that's something that I think we need to be very cognizant of, that once you're appointed, you are indeed accountable. And under the new rules of procedure, we have a number of metrics and a number of mechanisms, including the one of recall. So if one is underperforming from now on, then one will be noted and one will have remedial work done with one. And if you don't work well enough up to remedial work, then there's recall options, and your region will be informed. So there's no hiding under the bushes anymore. The other thing I wanted to mention is do consider a minimum of 7 to 8 hours per week just on the ALAC work. And that is a minimum. Sometimes, and certainly if you're taking leadership roles, either in work groups, in work or design teams, or of course in the ALAC leadership team, you may be spending some days that much a day, and in Olivia's case, I know all too well, he probably spends that much almost every day, including Saturdays. Because we are AP, the rest of the world is a day behind most of us, and therefore we will be called upon to work frequently on what we consider our weekend. So be prepared for the rest of the world thinking it's perfectly reasonable to have what they think is Friday meetings, and that biting into our weekend. Realise that even in a flexible time zone environment, as Holly alluded to, most of the calls, particularly the working group calls, are probably going to be at particularly unattractive hours. Certainly between your 9 or 10pm and your 6 or 7, 8am is the most probable time that you will be having ALAC calls, and that's even when they are rotating. Hong Trey and myself started very much in the theme of being actively involved, not only as ALAC members and participants in the At-Large Advisory Committee, interim or otherwise, but also to maintain strong leadership and activity in the region. Holly has continued that, of course, by virtue of the fact that she's not only an ALAC rep, but she's continuing as the chair of the AP RALO. That is not the case in all regions. It is a choice, but it is highly desirable that you are constantly and continuously and indeed closely and preferably in a leadership role involved in your region. And other than that, I think we'll open it up for questions, thanks, Holly.
Thank you, Cheryl. And please, everybody, if you've got questions, if you'd like to make statements, whatever, you have, by my reckoning, 15 minutes, and I would welcome hearing from anybody who would either like to stand, like to support somebody, or just wants to ask questions. And Olivier has raised his hand. Olivier.
Thank you very much, Holly. It's Olivier for the Transcript Record. I just have a question for the current AP Rabo ALAC reps. How do you deal with the conference call scheduling, which is a little hard since it often gets done during times which I believe are the sort of middle of the night for you?
Not Holly. You're the only one on the call that can answer that, I guess.
I have. However,
I think it's begrudgingly, isn't it, Holly?
I think it's begrudgingly. Let's put it this way. After this call and after a good night's sleep at 1 o'clock in the morning, I will be on my ITRT call every week. Then there's the ALAC call, and that also starts at 1 and can go till 3 or 4. Yeah, it's. I'm getting very used to having broken sleep. Thank you. Hong said, "Yes, that's very unfair." Well, that's just the way it is. I think you get very used to sort of having 3 or 4 hours sleep, and then trying to be sensible on the phone, and then going back and having another 2 or 3 hours sleep, and then having a normal day.
Cheryl here. That's not to be underestimated. Actually, it is a function of our region and the time zone, that we are the minority in terms of time zone choices, and we are constantly put at a disadvantage. But unless the regional representatives we send to the ALAC can get up and do these calls, then we as a region are not being represented. So this is a hugely important question. So all of insomnia, as well as perhaps insanity and strong masochistic tendencies, are probably some of the prerequisites for this job.
Thank you, Cheryl. Holly for the Transcript Records. And I'd have to say the Pacific Islanders, I can see Imani and Maureen as well, I think they might have it even worse than we do in terms of ours, but I'm not sure.
Maureen,
I think this end of the Asia-Pacific region fares very badly in terms of times of calls. But I don't see any hands up. Perhaps can I put both Maureen and Fuad on the spot, because both of you have put your hands up for this position. So I would like
so far.
And I would encourage anybody else who's thinking about it to also put your hand up. But I'd like to hear what you would like. Why would you like to do what you do, and what sort of challenges? Either Maureen or Fuad, you're both
Maureen,
there.
Maureen, go on.
Maureen, go ahead.
If I can go first, Holly, seeing as I put my hand up.
Yes. And
it's Maureen here. Just talking about the... Holly?
We've lost you. Yep.
Just mentioning the conference scheduling. I'm hearing intermittently as well.
Okay.
The conference scheduling is actually quite reasonable for me. I think I have most of my calls this is a 9 o'clock call for me, but that's actually a lot better than the 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock, which I know that some of you are in. But I recognise that, for example, the CCNSO team that Keith does, he actually sort of like shifts his scheduling equally around the region, so that everybody gets a share of the early morning sessions as well as the normal daytime sessions, which is quite good. I must admit, just to make a short comment on the standing for ALEC, for example. I think I've probably experienced already a little bit of the time commitment, the work that is involved, as I know for it has to, I have to concede that. But, you know, the work of having been involved in work for ALAC, for CCNSO, with AP RALO, it has, like, so over the last, the time between Toronto and Beijing and the commitment that was required during that time certainly gave me a very strong idea of what was required. And I know that the attention to a lot of the more policy-related issues is something that I would need to learn a lot more about, but I'm prepared to do that. And, yeah, I mean, I'll stop now and let Fouad have his turn.
Yep, okay. Thank you, Maureen. Fouad, if you could, and I might even, Sirenush as well, I might read out what Sirenush says after Fouad. Fouad, go ahead, please. Fouad?
Might be muted, Fouad. Star 7 if you're muted. That was Cheryl.
Thank you. Fouad, we cannot hear you. It's Holly. We cannot hear you. Gisela? I would also like to...
Hear me?
Thank you. Fouad, go ahead. Oops.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah. Hello, everyone.
Yes. We can hear you, son.
Holly, can the staff check what's going on with the...
I don't know. Gisela, can you just check with Fouad? And in the meantime, if I could just read out what Sirenush has to say, I think it's important. Sirenush, for those who may not be able to read, it is a very important position. And some kind of connection tie between the ALSs and in the information flow is important. It's something that Olivier said in his talk, and I absolutely support this. There has to be a connection between ALS and AP RALO and all the other RALOs for that matter. And I think it's something that in the next call we will be talking about. Monthly updates. I have been doing a monthly report, which really went right through Beijing. My next report will be in May, but I think, and Olivia, you can correct me, I think, I certainly think Naralo, most people have monthly updates. They
yep.
are on the website, and they are done, and believe me, if I don't do mine, Olivia will be down my back, which is absolutely appropriate. Fouad, can we hear you now? I don't.
Unfortunately, lines, Cheryl, for the record, lines in and out of Pakistan can often be a challenge,
yes,
and Fouad's frequently been unfortunately affected by these technical difficulties in a number of the calls, regional work group and otherwise. So if staff possibly could dial out to him, we might be able to secure a better line, but I am painfully aware that this is often a plaguing problem for him.
Okay.
In the meantime, Olivier has raised his hand. Olivier, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much, Holly. It's Olivier for the transcript. Just noticing a question from Satish Babu on the chat. The question is, I'm not clear, what is the role of the end user? So the members of the ALS, or I guess the person who is the representative from the ALS. And that's a very important question, and it's good for bringing it forward. The reason, or the function of the ALS representative is really, again, to be the bridge between the at-large community and the at-large advisory committee and their own community. And I think that this is not fully understood, because I haven't seen anywhere what the function of an ALS representative is. Maybe we would be over-engineering things if we were to even define what the functions of an ALS representative is. But by this question, and in fact, it's not the first time that I hear this. I've heard of new ALSs that join, and then the question is, so what do I do now as an ALS rep, and what can I do now? In fact, you're pretty much afforded the ability to do everything and anything that an ALAC member does, except, of course, vote on statements. But if you would like to hold the pen on a statement, you're very welcome to do so. And you're the sort of the primary contact point between your at-large structure and at-large. So communication, as I said, is very important. Now, that also means that as an ALS, though, you could actually have other people in your ALS that could be part of some working groups, and that, you know, you don't need to be the designed rep for the ALS to be on a working group. The only thing is that the representative from the ALS is the only one who can vote when there is a vote taking place in Orelo. But taking part in the work can be anyone in the ALS itself. I hope that kind of answers your question. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheryl, you've raised your hand. Go ahead, please.
I saw Renalia first.
Renalia?
Thank you, Holly. This is Renalia for the transcript. In response to Satish's question, it's actually a two-way street. The members of ALSs may have concerns that's related to the issues that ICANN is in charge of, and therefore, you as a representative of your ALS can channel their concerns back up the chain to the ALAC. That's one way. The other way that normally the ALAC tend to talk about is the other way down, sort of like the policy issues for discussion are determined at the ICANN level and then filters down, and you as an ALS representative has to go to your members and say, this is what the ICANN is asking for input or comment on. Is this something that we care about, and what are the issues from our side, and let's respond to it? So it's a two-way process. Thank you.
Thank you, Renalia. Cheryl?
Thank you, Cheryl, for the transcript record. Again, it's a Satish's question, and it's a very good one. Of course, the impossibility and impracticality of ICANN being able to measure the opinion or to even take the temperature of some 2 billion internet users, I think, is obviously ridiculous. They can't. And they almost tried at one point in 2000 to have a sort of small sample, and even that didn't work. At large is a mechanism by which, through our at-large structures and our regional organisations, ICANN seeks to take a sampling of opinion. Now, what's exciting about our regional groupings and the at-large structures within it is that we have an amazingly broad, albeit not yet complete, but still very, very broad reach into the world in terms of the number of countries that we are in. But all we can do is use these ALSs and those regions who have individual members, the individual member input, as mechanisms to take the temperature of opinion and view. So an at-large structure, it's absolutely imperative that if it has as many of you do, and Satish, your organisation would be a perfect example of one, a well-constructed and a broadly bottom-up developed policy opinion on something that can and indeed should be pushed through our mechanisms where it affects or interacts with naming, numbering and nomenclature of the internet into our mix. As Olivier said, only one at-large structure representative can vote. But Olivier, I just want to be really clear because we're talking to AP Rallo here, and AP Rallo has hopefully a minimum of three authorised representatives for each at-large structure. We do encourage our at-large structures in our region to have three or more contact points so that we have better and more effective communications, but only one of those obviously can vote at any one time, either in the region or if an at-large structure was ever to be asked to vote in a more global way. So I think that was important to make the difference that in some of your regions, Olivier, it may be that there is only one, but in AP Rallo, we encourage three, if not more.
Thank you, Cheryl. I'm just going to read Fuad's comment. I'm going to suggest that both Fuad and Maureen and anyone else who is interested in making comments, there is a page for these elections on the AP Rallo site. Please put your comments on. Fuad has typed, given the poor connectivity with Pakistan, my interest in ALAC comes from closely observing the important work that ALAC does. I have been part of activities as a co-vice chair of AP Rallo in understanding and communicating on certain policy issues and contributed on certain committees that are important to the work and contribution made by ALAC. I believe that I can contribute extensively and represent my Rallo meaningfully. It is indeed a huge undertaking, but this comes out of my personal interest. Now, we've come to the end of this. Let me just remind everyone of the schedule, which is from May 27th. It will be the beginning. I will announce this call for nominations for the ALAC position. The nomination period runs from May 27 to June 14. There is then an additional week for nominees to accept their nomination. That period ends on June 21st. From June 28th to July 5th are elections. And obviously the elections close on July 5. We will know who the representative is then. However, the newly elected AP Rallo ALAC representative will be seated at the November meeting, which will be from the 17th to the 21st of November. And that schedule is also posted on the page that I was referring to, which is the election page. Now, any final comments, because we've got 1 minute.
Yep, Cheryl, for the record, I just wanted to make a point, and I accept, as you might all realise, begrudgingly, these delays. I do think these information sessions are useful. I think it would have been perfect for next year. It's been a damned nuisance from a nominating committee point of view this year. AP Rallo, please be informed. Your election schedule means that the nominating committee will be making its appointments to your region without any knowledge of, it'll be making its selections for final decisions on its appointments without any input on who you will be appointing, because we will have already established our final listing well before you finish your voting because of this delay. That means that any issues in terms of diversity that you are not happy with this year is just unavoidable and actually by your own making. I just wanted you all to know that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Are there any other comments? Well, look, thank you all for paying attention. Please review the document that has been on the screen. It's called Adjunct Document Number 1, and it's all about the position that some of you either would like to undertake or would like to support someone to undertake. So that and any other questions
there is a wiki, and you're all welcome to use it. And thank you all for your time. Olivier, particularly, thank you for your time. And have a good evening. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Thanks very much, Holly. Very good call. Hello. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you all. The meeting has been adjourned and the audio will now be disconnected.